Blog Talk Radio.
This is Pastor Dean Judkins along with Pastor Charlie Sims. Charlie, how are we doing today?
I'm doing good. I had the day off and I was able to unwind. I'm glad of it.
Well, all right. Today, Charlie, I figured we could stir the pot a little bit here and see if perhaps we can maybe even get some info. But before we even start, here's our guest call-in number. I don't know how many people are going to be listening live. But if you disagree, if you agree, you want to ad lib something, we'll give you a minute or two to talk with us on the line. And you can call us at 646-787-8364. Again, it's 646-787-8364. We'd love to hear from you. Charlie, would you like to open us in a word of prayer?
We can do that. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit will come and hover over us. And, Lord, that you'll reveal yourself through the Scriptures, Lord God, and that, Lord, you'll help us to bring forth truth and substance, and that, Lord, it'll touch in heart, the hearts and lives of the listeners, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, so for you that are following along, we are going to be in a world-famous chapter in the book of Matthew. We are going to be in chapter 24. Because of such a short time, we don't have time to read the entire chapter. So we're going to start with verses 29, and we're going to work our way down and see what we can get through. And Charlie, in Matthew 24, you know this very well. How about if you just summarize briefly what they're talking about in verses 1 through 35? You know we're going to get some of the top tips. Like an overview of the chapter for the people.
Well, the overview of the chapter is there was at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus had just described some things, and they had taken Jesus and they'd shown him the temple, and because he said, you know, that there's not going to be one stone left upon another, and he was describing to them some future events that were going to take place in Jerusalem. And so when we get into chapter 24, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him and showed him the buildings of the temple. And he said unto them, see ye not all these things? And he was looking at the temple and all the surrounding area. And he says, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. So he was asked two questions. When shall these things be? In other words, when is it going to come to pass that the temple will be destroyed and there won't be one stone left upon another? When is that going to take place? And he goes on and he answers the first question, and he takes about the first 35 verses and answers that first question. Now, some will disagree with this. Some will say that all of chapter 24 has to do with the end time. But when you look at the context, it has to do with him answering two questions. And he answers the first one, and he gives some analogies in that. And then the second part, picking up in verse 36, he answers the second question. What shall be the sign of his coming? When shall this take place? So he's answering two questions there, so that gives us a very basis of this. And so we can see there that when we look at it in context, that he answered the two questions that were asked of him by his disciples in private.
Amen. All right, so we will pick it up. Let's pick it up with 36. We'll answer the second part of his question because you've summarized very well what's going to do. Now, a lot of people are going to disagree with us here. They're going to tell us like they've been telling us, we're preaching heresy, or, you know, we're lying. My favorite one is we do it for the money. Charlie, if you see any money coming in, I don't know anything about it. But
I know where the money comes from, out of mine in your pocket. That's where it comes from.
That's right. So we don't do this. Again, we Charlie and I are famous. We're infamous. Look that up if you don't know what that means. And so we don't do this to think that we're anybody, because we know that him and I are nobody, but in Christ, we can do all things. So we're here trying to show people the truth. So much perverseness and so many lies that are preached. And Charlie, it's like they don't even study the word and they preach all this stuff, because a lot of they can't back anything up with what they say with the word.
Yeah, they really don't. It's a real shame. But if we start in verse 36, he's answered the question. He says, this is when you will know. I'm answering the question now. What shall be the sign of that coming and of the end of the world? And he begins there in verse 36, and he says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So these people that are predicting when Jesus is coming back in a, quote, secret rapture, they're missing the whole thing, because it's not for us to know. It is clearly stipulated several times in Scripture. It's not for us to know. That's in the Father's hand. Even the Son doesn't know when that time is. Only the Father knows. So he begins by that. And he said, but as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days of Noah, they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And you know, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man be. So, in essence here, what he's saying in that is that it, as it was in the days of Noah, the hearts of men were on evil continually. We read that in Genesis. There was all kinds of anarchy, all kinds of things going on that were just bad throughout the whole known world at that time. It was terrible. And God said, I've had enough. And he's comparing the days of Noah to the days of the Son of Man. And he's saying there that when Jesus comes back, it's going to be similar to that time period. It's going to be like that. And it says, and you not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. This is the real part here. They said, then shall be two in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two will be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Okay. Those who teach the rapture say that the one taken is the one taken in the rapture.
I want to just, before you even get into this, I want to read my version of it, because this was fascinating when I was reading this. Verse 40, it says, then two shall be in the fields, then one shall be received, and the other shall be refused. Two mm-hmm. women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be received, and the other shall be refused. I kind of mm-hmm. like that translation. I'm in the Geneva or the Patriot Bible, which is a fantastic version of the Bible, by the way. And okay, now go ahead. What you were saying, it just gives somebody, you know, gives them a little bit better of an understanding, I think.
But yes, it does. But again, if we look over into let me find it here. It's in Luke 17. There's a parallel scripture. Let me find it here. Let's see. In Luke 17 and verse 26, it says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, drink, drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they married wives and were given in marriage. That means marriage and divorce was rampant into the ark. And the flood came. And listen to this now. And it says, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Who was saved?
So wait a minute. What you're saying there is the ones that were, quote, left behind?
Yes.
Were destroyed? Is that what you're
saying?
Were
destroyed. Those that were left behind were destroyed. In other words, they weren't raptured. They were in the ark of safety that the Lord told Noah to build. And the ones left were Noah and his family. The ones taken were the wicked. Because there was only eight left. There were eight left out of all of humanity at that time. There were eight left. And it said there that the flood came and destroyed them all. Okay? So when the flood came, who did it destroy? It destroyed the wicked. The wicked were the ones that were taken. The righteous were the ones that were left. It's been backwards since C.I. Scofield first published his first Bible, and J.N. Darby and C.I. Scofield got into that about creating this secret rapture theory. That's where it came from. So it has nothing to do with what the scripture says, because it's just the opposite of what people think. When the Lord returns and destroys the wicked at his appearing, I want to be one of those that's left, because I want to be here to really see his coming and be a participator in his kingdom on the earth after the wicked are destroyed.
Amen. Amen. So that's interesting. You know, one of the things that I don't understand is like, and by the way, you and I made it past June 23rd. That's when the rapture was supposed to happen, by the way. And another one, July 23rd. So hopefully, brother, you know, if I don't see you here, we'll see you up in the air. But but these people bank on these theories, thinking that when trials, tests, and tribulations come, and they're coming, and you know, they're coming, that it's their get out of jail card free. But the thing that gets me, I guess, is these people that believe in this rapture theory, they spend no time really in the Word. They're not particularly acting, you know, like the Bible tells us to act. They're not abiding in Christ. There's dysfunction going on continuously. But they buy into this theory thinking, hey, I'm all set. Do you think that those people that were in the flood when Noah was hoisted in the ark and God closed the door of the ark, do you think they thought anything was going to happen?
No, in all probability, again, we don't have definitive scripture to back that up, but we know that Noah preached for 120 years and did not have a convert. So they had to have been mocking him, ridiculing him. Why do you want to build a big boat out here in the middle of nowhere? There's no water out here, you know, and on and on and on. And Noah was telling him, says, you know, that there's going to come a flood. Well, up until that time, we don't have any record that there was a rise in water anywhere. And it appeared like up until that time that it had not rained, that there was a mist that came up. That covered the ground, that caused things to grow, but it wasn't anything like heavy rain. But Noah said there's going to come a flood, and they were trying to, you know, and he would describe to them what was going to happen, and they didn't pay any attention. The prophet spoke, and they didn't care.
That's good stuff. So we challenge people who are listening, you know, read this, look it up for yourself. How many times have you read I'm going to be honest with you. When I was younger in the Lord, I preached Matthew 24 as signs of the end times before Jesus was coming back for rapture the church. I used to teach that. And, you know, through deeper study and you prodding me in a direction a few years ago to read it and just challenged me to find where it says, you know, people are going to be raptured. I came up with, it doesn't say it anywhere. I mean, it really doesn't. It's bad theology. It's a destructive doctrine, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. And,
yes, it is.
And people really need to get into the Word of God, and you need to search out the Scriptures for yourself.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. If they search them out and read them openly and honestly, they will see that what they have been taught, it's the kind of thing to where you're taught something, and it remains with you. And when you read something, you automatically interpret it the way that you heard it. And it's difficult for some people to think. It says, well, you know, my pastor told me wrong. My pastor didn't tell the truth on this. And I had to go through that because I was taught early on the same thing. And I was introduced to the different concept. And I said, now, wait a minute. I can see the difference here. I can see the difference. And then when I began to uncover the history of how that Bible teaching got into the church, I mean, that sealed the deal for me, because once I understood the history, I knew where it came from. And it, well, first of all, it came straight out of the pit of hell. But other than that, men were used, the demonic spirits used men to create false narratives and false doctrines to give people false hope in that sense. It really did, because they did not want to listen to the truth of the scriptures and what the Lord said, that this is going to take place. But I've told a lot of people over the years, it's not for us to know. We don't know. You can speculate from now on, but we don't know. We have some hints, but we don't know.
So what does the Bible tell us we're supposed to do then? Let's go to verse 42. I'll read 42, and it says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your master will come. Mm-hmm. And this be sure, that if the good man of the house knew at what time, at what watch the thief would come, he would surely watch and not suffer his house to be dug through. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in that hour that ye thinketh not, will the Son of Man come.
Mm-hmm.
Who then is a faithful servant and wise, whom his master hath made ruler of his household to give them meat in season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So what are we supposed to be doing? Are we supposed to be predicting days of the rapture? No.
We're to be about the Father's business. We're to be preaching what Christ preached, and we're to be preaching what Paul preached, and what Peter and James and John and Jude and all of them preached. We're to be preaching that, and that is the gospel of the kingdom. And if we're doing that, and we're doing it in conjunction with the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will see results in the hearts and lives of people. Because they will, if they're willing, they'll catch a hold to it, and it will change their hearts and lives.
Amen.
And another scripture says, occupy till I come.
Amen. Amen.
That means be about the Father's business. In other words, you do what you need to be doing, and don't worry about this other stuff. Don't worry about when he's coming back. You fulfill the calling, and you do what the Lord's called you to do, and you don't worry about all this other stuff. Because when he comes back, if you're doing, it says right there, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Doing what? He's faithful and wise servant, and he made him rule over his household to give them meat in due season. So we're doing what the Lord calls us to do.
That's right. And then it says in 47, it says, verily I say unto you, he shall make him a ruler over all his goods. So when Jesus comes back, and are Charlie and I saying that Jesus isn't coming back? No, that's not what we're saying. Jesus is coming back. What we're saying is nowhere in Scripture does it say that we're going to be raptured and go up there for 7 years and feast up in heaven and then come back again for another rapture. That is not what we're saying. We're saying that Jesus is coming back. And Charlie, is he coming back in secrecy?
No.
What does Scripture Absolutely tell not. Us that when Jesus returns, what does Scripture tell us?
Oh, it's going to be noisy. It's going to be real noisy. If you take the favorite verse, the number one, probably the number one or number two verse in all of Scripture that's used for that, I think it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if I remember correctly. Let me see if that's it right there, 1 Thessalonians. Oh, yeah, it started in chapter 4, verse 13. It's verse 16. It starts, it says, "For the Lord himself," that is Jesus, "shall descend from heaven with a shout." That ain't quiet. That ain't secret. "With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God." That trumpet's going to blow so loud it's going to raise the dead. That's loud, buddy. So again, even the scriptures that they use, the primary scripture they use to justify the rapture, is not going to be quiet. It's not going to be secret. He's not going to sneak into the clouds and take the church out to go away for 7 years to a marriage feast and then return again, and they call that his second coming. Well, that's his third. But Jesus didn't come but one time as a child, and he's coming back the second time as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So there ain't but one first coming, ain't but one second coming. That's it.
Amen. Amen. That's good stuff right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'll read verse 48. "But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master doeth defer his coming, and begin to smite his fellows, and to eat and to drink with the drunken, that servant's master will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and he will cut him off and give him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Yes. That's going to be a difficult time, a real difficult time, because there are some that even going around now that's saying, you know, that Jesus is not coming back. It's all a fable. It's just futility. You know, there's in essence, they're saying there is no God. Jesus was a fable. Jesus was a good man, but he was not the Son of God. That they go around talking like that, and there are people pick it up on that, and it's a real shame. And it says there, "But if the Lord find that evil servant," so at some point in time, that individual or those people must have had some kind of relationship with the Lord, but they turned and said, "Well, you know, this is just a fable. It ain't nothing." And what better way to create a condition like that? I think this is critical. What better way to create a condition like that than they predict the rapture and it doesn't happen? They predict the rapture and it doesn't happen. They predict the rapture and it doesn't happen. And they said, he's delaying his coming. He ain't coming back.
Well, either that or, like you said, they'll get so discouraged, they'll say, you know what? This is a lie. This isn't real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like you said, it'll turn people away. And I think that that's a ploy. I think it's a plan. And I think you've seen that happen with a lot of people, especially younger people today.
Yes. There seems to be an apathy about those things. A lot of young people have turned from the church for various reasons, and some of them are legitimate reasons, and some of them are not legitimate reasons. And a lot of the reasons that's created them to leave the churches is because of the pastors and the pulpits. They're not preaching the truth of the Word of God. They're not. They're out there doing their own thing, building their own kingdom, and they're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're just not doing it.
It's a shame. I have a question for you. We got about 6 minutes left. I'm just asking your opinion here. Is the end of the world coming?
The one that we know now, yes. And when we say the end of the world, we're talking about an ending of something. There will be an end of this age, and there will be the beginning of a new age. It will be on the same earth. The earth is not going to be destroyed. It's going to be reworked. And what the scriptures talk about, and this is another subject within itself, but the scriptures talk about that. And in Revelation, it says John the Revelator saw, he said he saw the city of the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, adorned as a bride for a husbandman, for a husband. And that new Jerusalem, the new one, is going to be the new dwelling place of the Lord on the earth here. And it's going to cover the whole earth. So it's an interesting study in itself. It really is. to see what those things could be and what they might be. There's been a lot of speculation about them. There's been a lot of books written about them. But it tells us that when it says the end of the world, does it mean the end of the cosmos, which is the stuff we breathe, what we see, what is around us, or is it the end of the age? In those cases, it's the end of the age. There's a period of time where it's cut off and another thing begins. And it's not dispensationalism. It's the Lord himself saying, this is my time, that this age or this period of time is coming to a close. And we're going to shut everything down, and we're going to let sin run rampant as far as it can go. But when the cup is full, that's it. We're going to cut it off. I'm going to have my people established in my kingdom here on the earth.
Amen. And I'm going to second that. I'm going to say, is the end of the world coming? I don't believe that the world will end. I believe that the age is going to end, and there's a new age coming, a new beginning in Christ here on earth. That's what I believe. So I'm on board with you there, Charlie. But you have all these people that sit down there and they use all these scare tactics. They go against what the Word of God says. They can't back anything up with the Word of God. And they're teaching and they're misguiding and misleading millions of Christians with lies and doctrines that are, you know, destructive doctrines. And people need to get into the Word. Stop watching television for a half hour a night, or get off the internet for a half hour a night. Open up your Word and allow the Holy Ghost to teach you and to rightly divide the Word of truth, the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just looked it up. The Greek word that's used in chapter 24 there, where it says, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? It should be, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? It's aion.
Amen. Amen. So there you hear. He went back to the original, and it says the end of the age.
I just looked it up. It's aion.
Aion.
That's right.
Aion. Any other things that you want to... We got about 2.5 minutes, Charlie. Any other things that you want to
I would just encourage the people to read the scriptures, to even read the scriptures that we went through tonight. Read chapter 24 with an open heart and look at the context. What was Jesus speaking about? What was he saying to his disciples? He was describing what was going to happen in Jerusalem. He was describing what was going to happen by what they see. And that occurred in 70 A.D. When it was King Titus that came in and tore Jerusalem up. There was not one stone left upon another. The whole place was a wasteland. There was nothing left. Absolutely nothing left. Nothing. Hmm. And it wasn't to be rebuilt ever again. But the Lord said it right there. This is what's going to take place, and this is why. I could go into all of why, but that'll be another lesson in itself. But we'll talk about that another time.
All right. We got about just a little over a minute left. How about if I do the ending prayer tonight, Charlie?
Go right ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you. We love you. We honor you. We worship you. You are amazing. Jesus, we love you. Holy Ghost, thank you so much for always being here. We just ask, Lord, that you would just witness and just be with the people that are listening, the people around the world, that you'd give them a hunger and a thirst to get into the Word. Father, we just ask that you bless each and every listener and those who don't listen, Father, and that the Holy Ghost would just start to move upon people, and we could get people saved, delivered, and healed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. I agree.
Amen. All right, well, we will see everybody next Tuesday on Blog Radio. I'm going to touch base with Charlie and see what we want to do. Charlie, thank you. And remember, everybody, we love you, and Jesus is Lord. God bless.
Amen. Amen.